Hello, and welcome to the Sapona Road Church podcast. Today is a great day. It's the day that the Lord has made, and we are excited that you've taken time to join with us as we hear from God's Word. We exist as a church to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope that today's message encourages and blesses you and helps you to grow and mature in your walk and relationship with Him. The word of the Lord is powerful and life-changing, so let's see our lives transformed as we listen to today's message.
The scripture is Galatians 5:16. And it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So, Father, thank you for your word. Just bless this message. Let it touch people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Heather and I want to talk to you about walking in the Spirit. And we spoke about a month ago, maybe.
Yeah.
And we talked about, we tried to focus on talking about what it means to be born again. And what that's like for us as the believer. And one of the keys to living a victorious life as a Christian is walking in the Spirit. And so we thought we would try to jump into that a little bit today and explain some things and give you some things to also ponder on and think about and figure out for yourself as the Lord leads you. But I want to give you an example here, an illustration. I'm going to give another one a little bit later. But just to kind of get you on the right, like where we're going with this. And most of you know Monty and Michelle.
And
Monty's working the back today. What you might not know is that Monty is actually a junior. Monty's name is it all right to say your whole name here?
Now that we asked it out loud.
Some people don't like for you to use their whole name when they go by a different name. But Monty's name is Roger Montgomery Pickett Jr. Okay? And so Roger is Roger Montgomery Pickett III. And so so Monty got the name Monty because Big Roger was Roger. And now it keeps, I guess if Roger, when he has a son, if he keeps it going, there may be another Monty running around.
Or Montgomery.
Around. Yeah, we don't know. But so the house that Monty and Michelle live in, Monty and Michelle's house is actually the house that Monty and his brother, John, helped their dad build in the 90s. And so so two Rogers have lived there. And when Monty and Michelle moved in, they did what anybody else would do. They started changing stuff immediately because Monty's dad had lived there. And he didn't move everything out, did he? He left some stuff in there and you had to, she had to navigate, they had to navigate that stuff and move stuff out, move stuff in, change everything around. And now here's the thing, how crazy would it have been if they would have just moved in just lived in the house, but not put any furniture in it. Just leave it just like it was. I would walk in and I would be like, I thought this was Monty's house. But it doesn't look like Monty's house. It looks like Monty's dad's house. In other words, the thought behind it would be, I thought a new Roger lived here. For some reason, it kind of looks like the same old Roger lives in this place, but I thought a new Roger was supposed to be living here. Well, that's what happens to us as born-again believers.
Yeah.
See, God, He moves in, but He leaves the decorating to us. And a lot of people, they'll say they've accepted Christ, but it sure seems like the old, whatever their name is still living there. Where's the new one that I thought was supposed to be moved in, the new creation? And then the other mistake that a lot of people make is when they moved in, the first thing they did was not go worry about the landscaping. Michelle wanted her pictures up. She wanted her bed in the bedroom. They wanted their, you see what I'm saying? A lot of times what we do is, well, when people get saved, they immediately start trying to change the outside, what everybody's going to see.
Good.
Meanwhile, the inside, nothing's changed. and it's uncomfortable and it's difficult to keep this thing going because the wrong furniture is in there, the wrong mindset. There's no peace in the home. The outside looks great. It fits the mold. It looks the part. Everything's all together. You've got all the things checked off the list of what it looks like to be a good Christian, but on the inside, there's no peace, there's no joy, there's no power. There's no victory to walk in. And so we have to realize, just like with Monty, there was a new Roger living there. And when you went in the house, it was I used to go there when it was his dad's house. So I could see the difference that there was a new Roger in that home. And that's the way it should be with you. Now, there were some things that were the same because Roger still lived there. And Monty is a lot like his dad. But at the same time, there was a new Roger. And that's how it's supposed to be with us. God moves in, but he leaves the decorating up to us. So the question is, how have you been decorating over the years? What have you changed? What have you made to make your life a place that God would want to dwell? To make your life a place of peace and a place where you can walk in the Spirit. And so that's what we want to talk about. So Galatians 5:16 again, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And some versions say the desires of the flesh. And so you've heard me say before that we get a lot of things mixed up in the church. I know I have a lot of stuff over the years. You know, I like to re-preach a lot of sermons, and that's what I will tell people, and Heather gets a kick out of it every time I say it. Because sometimes the Lord will lead me to re-preach something, and it's only been about a year. And I'll just tell everybody, I'll say, listen, it's going to be like a brand new sermon. I took out everything I don't believe anymore. Because there's always stuff that's changing. We need to be working on ourselves. And so we get things mixed up. When we spoke last time, we were talking about how we'll take a verse and we'll only use half of it. Instead of believing the whole verse, we just believe the first part, and usually it's the part that puts us down or that keeps us defeated or in bondage, and instead of realizing the whole entire thing. And we'll also, though, we'll take them, and even if we quote the whole verse, we flip it around and get it backwards and get it all mixed up in our heads. And believe it or not, we do the same thing with this simple verse that I just read. Because, see, we've been told so many times that the Spirit and the flesh are contrary to one another, which is true. It's very true. But because of this, what happens when we get things backwards is we start to read this verse and we assume, because it's always, for some reason with people, it's easy to go to the religious side. It's not always so easy to walk led by the Spirit. And so what we do with this verse is we assume, so what this verse is telling me is I can walk in the Spirit by denying my flesh. That's the key to everything. And so we start to put all of our focus on not doing this and not doing that and thinking if we can just stop doing this certain thing or stop saying this certain thing that we'll just automatically be in the Spirit. That's the key. I just do this and I'm in the Spirit. And we've probably all done it. But that is not what this verse says. This verse does not say that if you do not fulfill the desires of the flesh, that you're going to be walking in the Spirit.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that. It says that if we will walk in the Spirit, then we will not be fulfilling the desires or the lusts of the flesh. That is two totally different things. One is works, and one is the grace and the power of God operating in our lives. And it's kind of like this. Walking in the Spirit, think of it as turning the light on. You don't walk into a dark room and start saying, oh my goodness, look at all this darkness.
That's how you did
it. I need to get this darkness out of here. If I could just get rid of some of this darkness, maybe some light would come in. No, we just turn the light on and the darkness flees. But a lot of people, they're trying to get darkness out of their light, out of their life, instead of just walking in the light of the Spirit. It changes everything. God wants us to come to Him just as we are. And so He changes us on the inside in our spirit man. And then we begin to renew our minds with the Word of God, finding out who we are in Christ. That's what's turning the light on is. As we find out who we are in the Spirit, those things of the flesh, they just begin to change. They begin to fall away. So when we start walking in the Spirit by focusing our attention on the things of God and not being so focused on the flesh about everything and everything that we need to, we all need to do things better. But focusing on everything you need to do better is not the same thing as being obedient to the Spirit. But if we will stop being so focused on the flesh and actually focus on God, then we can break the dominion of the flesh that it has over us.
Well, it's just changing our focus and changing what we are reflecting upon. It kind of made me think about something that Aaron said yesterday about volleyball. So our daughter, we went to go see her play in a volleyball tournament, and just in case somebody is watching who wouldn't want to hear. You know how sometimes I think that when people, they want you to see the effort they're putting in, and sometimes it's because you're not using that effort in the right way that it makes it look like you're making something that's so hard. You know, you're wanting them to see how hard it is because they're seeing your striving. They're seeing your effort. When actually, if we're doing it the correct way, it looks easy because we're focusing on the right thing. That's what it made me think of with volleyball, because sometimes, like when Hannah does something, it looks easy because she's doing it the correct way. But then someone else who's trying to do the same thing, it looks hard what they're doing because they're doing it the incorrect way. So it looks like she's putting more effort in than what the person who's doing it correctly is doing. Does that make sense? That's how that makes me think about walking in the Spirit, because the focus, whenever we read this scripture the correct way, walk in the Spirit. So what's our focus on? On the Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord. We're focusing on the Spirit. But if we only focus on the lust of the flesh, what are we focusing on? The flesh. It's all about what we're focusing on. And what we focus on, what we are beholding, we become. If our focus is on the Spirit, the other stuff will follow. And we have to get it out of our minds that it's all about our effort and it's all about our striving. I'm speaking to myself. Like, if it's all about what you see me do and how difficult I make it look, how appealing is that? Does that relationship look with the Lord? It's not really at all. But when we're focusing on the Spirit, we are becoming what we behold. That's what's going to be appealing to the world, right? So that wasn't in my notes. You're welcome. So once you're born again, the rest of the Christian life is learning to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is basically letting what God has done through us, through the new birth, dominate us more than our physical and emotional realm. And that sounds like it should be something that's simple, right? But simple isn't always easy. Sometimes we get that wrong. Just because it's simple does not mean that all of the difficulty is going to come out of it. That's probably one of the hardest things that we're ever going to do, is allowing the Spirit to dominate what we see and taste and feel, our emotional and physical realm. But we must perceive our spirit by faith in God's word, since we can't see it or feel it. Like, I know when we talk about living by the Spirit, I mean, what does that even mean? What does that look like? Because we're so programmed to it be what we can taste and touch and feel. John 6:63 says that Jesus' words are spirit and life. So when we look into God's word, we are actually looking into a spiritual mirror. The beautiful thing about the word of God is that it's constantly doing things. It's constantly, it's a living word. Kat said that one time in Sunday school one time, talking about how the word of God is alive. So that means every time we go back to it, it's going to be like he's just constantly showing us things. But one of the things that this really impacted my life a few months ago, I pick on it because God always speaks to Aaron about fasting. He doesn't ever speak to me about fasting. I think because he knows that I don't listen as good when it's about food as Aaron does. So the Lord spoke to Aaron about fasting. And, you know, I did what every good wife does and said, okay, I'll do it too. Because he cooks my dinner. And then I knew, you know, that would be really harsh punishment. So Aaron did a complete fast for 3 days. I had a meal a day. Because, you know, I know my limitations. So I had the one meal at lunch, and then we'd fast the whole rest of the day or whatever. So I was really complaining in my mind about, man, this is so hard. I'm just having one meal a day. I'm starving. And then Holy Spirit was like, well, you don't seem to have a hard time reading the Word once a day. I mean, and we know that the Word is, like, we're talking about the bread of life. We're talking about the things that feed our souls. So in that moment, I was like, ouch, okay, that's true. I don't seem to struggle. I've done my devotion. I'm good. But if all I ate was that one meal a day, I would be hungry the whole rest of the day. And y'all, it's true for you too, not just me. So that moment kind of impacted me that it was like, okay, well, if I eat three meals a day, I'm going to read the Word three times a day. And it didn't have to be this significant catastrophe. You know, like it's usually a chapter. And that works for me. So it's like whenever I know my body's ready to eat, I know my spirit's ready to eat. And that is what talking about, like looking at that spiritual mirror, letting the Word of God feed us, we have to prioritize the Word.
And since she did that, I think probably in the past 2 months, she has come home with more conversations about conversations of the Lord coming up at work.
Yeah,
than I can remember in a long time. It seems like a couple of weeks were happening.
It's true. So that's the point, is we are not going to know who we are in the Lord without reading the Word, without feeding our spirit. The Word needs to be our compass. And you know what it's like? It's like if you go a while without eating, you kind of get used to it. But like if you eat right before bed, you wake up the next morning super hungry. Like how does that, you know, you'd think it would be the opposite. That's what it's like reading the Word of God. It no longer is as hard. You know, you're setting those priorities and those habits. And the only way you can know what's true about who you are in the Spirit and who He's called you to be is by believing God's Word. And how are you going to believe something that you never read? Right? You're not. You're just going to go based off of what somebody tells you. And we need to base our thoughts and actions on our identity and who we are in Christ. Like, I think that's why the set list impacted me so much this morning, because I felt like we were just declaring things all morning over ourselves, who we are in Christ, who we believe the Lord to be. Like, these praise and worship and declarations are huge. Because you are declaring things over yourself that you may not necessarily feel, but you're declaring them anyways, right? That's what it is to be dominated by the Spirit and not by our flesh. We will be dominated by one thing or the other, and it's up to us to decide.
Now, you'll notice that we keep saying spirit and flesh, and we're trying to do that on purpose, because we're trying not to say new nature and old nature, or new nature and sinful nature. Now, not there's anything wrong with that, but a lot of people like to talk about the old sinful nature, and even some translations of the Bible will use sinful nature instead of flesh in some of the verses that you read. But if we're born again, we don't have a sinful nature. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be gone. It's been buried with Christ. Now, our body and our soul can still do sinful things. We have the ability to sin. That has not changed. But our spirit is dead to sin, or at least it's supposed to be, because the old man is dead and the new man is who we are now. We are not two people. It's not the way it's supposed to work.
So if you think about it, when a person dies, they leave behind a body. And even though the spirit's gone from the body, it can look the same for a period of time. Right? I mean, we've probably all gone to funerals or seen someone who's passed away. It's like they're there, but they're sleeping. In fact, even after a person has died, and if this ever happens, I am going to be very scared, but it's possible for someone to sit up and to have different movements, like their muscles are contracting. I mean, I don't even know. That's never happened to me, but apparently it's possible that you can actually move as if you're still alive, even after the spirit's left your body. The body can show some mannerisms of life even though there is no life.
And just to be honest, there's still some of those old bodies. They seem so alive because you've been keeping them on life support for so long. We don't want to let it go. And we just keep holding on and holding on to something that's really not even there anymore, but we just keep convincing ourselves that it is.
And when we're born again, our old sin is crucified and buried. Thank you, Jesus. But it does leave a body behind. That's why we can still feel certain temptations, kind of like it's that reflex of movements in the body, even though the real me is dead to sin. Our bodies and our minds have been influenced and programmed by the old us. That's what we're used to. And if you're anything like me, you usually go back to what's familiar. Even if it's not good for you, you go back to what you're used to. But when we're being programmed by the old us, we're continually being influenced by the enemy and the world around us. I mean, I think that that's one thing that we can all say. I mean, we're talking about media, all the things that we're continually exposed to. And that stuff is very tempting to the old self, the old sin. So that's why we have to present our bodies and renew our minds like we usually talk about. Because I'm telling you, we are being programmed and our minds are, we're continually being influenced. We have to be influenced by the Word of God. We have to, or we're not going to survive this Christian life. It's going to be constantly striving. The way we like to put it is, we have one nature, the new nature in Christ, but we have two minds. We have the unrenewed mind, which is the flesh, and we have the mind of Christ, which is the Spirit. We have to try to renew that natural mind to think like our spiritual mind so we can have the power of God in our lives. Because, I mean, you have to understand what this is like. When you talk about things like putting to death the old sin, I mean, we're all still alive in here. What we're used to is what we can see. So everything we're talking about is in the spiritual realm, but we are spirit beings. That's who we are. That's the reality of eternity for us. But we're having to try to retrain our natural mind to think like the Spirit. And if you think that that's going to be easy, I mean, that's unrealistic. Because all of our senses want to think like the flesh. But we're reprogramming that mind to think like the Spirit, like our spirit man, like we are intended to, because the old sin is dead and our new life has begun. We have the renewed mind, the unrenewed mind, which is the flesh. We have the mind of Christ, which is the Spirit. So we have to keep renewing that natural mind to think like the Spirit, because we want to see the power of God in our lives. How can I tell you that God is a healer, but I don't see the healing yet? How can I tell you that God is a sustainer, but you're having a hard time finding the strength to move on? How can I tell you that God's a provider and you're having a hard time paying your bills? Because what we see is different from what we need to be believing and renewing our mind with. If we don't renew our mind with God's word, it will always gravitate towards the flesh, because that's what we can taste and smell and hear and feel. And we have to get into God's word to be led by the Spirit. We can't be lazy. I mean, I'm speaking to myself. I mean, one meal a day, y'all. I mean, and it wasn't even a big meal. It was like less than 5-minute meal. And I mean, and I was living off of that. You know, yes, I was listening to praise and worship. I was feeding just, you know, myself that way, but I was not feeding myself in the word. And that's just being honest. And I could feel a difference. And you know when I could start feeling the difference? When I started getting stronger. I realized how weak I was, because I felt the strength in me after feeding my spirit by the word of God. I mean, I think, and I'm looking at all y'all, you're beautiful. I don't think any of y'all probably left the house without looking in the mirror. Did anybody? If you did, you're brave. Because if I didn't look in the mirror, it would be bad. Whenever the Bible says that it's like looking into a spiritual mirror, we are never going to see what we really look like if we don't read it. And all of us physically find so much importance on what we look like and what we appear to other people. We have to be looking at the word to see what our spirit reflects and looks like in order to really know where we're at. And there's never going to be growth until we really know where we're at.
So, I want to... Moving on along, I want to give you another illustration, and we're getting ready to close. But Heather just got on a roll, so I just let her roll with it.
I'm sorry.
But
I'm walking in the spirit. You're walking in the flesh.
All right, cut the live stream. That's good.
Turn the light on. I'm done.
Okay, she's finished. So I gave you the house example, so now I want to give you another one. I'm going to keep using Monty here, so I'm going to give you an example about a laptop. Now, I am not a computer person, okay? So when we're transformed by renewing our minds, what happens is presenting your body as a living sacrifice is difficult on your own, okay? But when you are walking led by the Spirit, then it says you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh or the lust of the flesh. So now if I'm walking by the Spirit and I'm not desiring I'm not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, now guess what? Presenting my body just got a whole lot easier. Because that's what's holding most people back. But a lot of people don't know how to get there. So maybe this one will connect with you a little bit better. I do computers. I'm just not good with computers. So Monty and even Brian does programming. Monty does IT work. Heather's dad's really good at them too, and her uncle. So I'm going to blame it on them. They've taken care of everything for me, so I've never really had to learn. My laptop is a hand-me-down from Heather's dad. Our desktop is a hand-me-down from Monty. Pretty much all of our computers, but Heather's work computer, somebody gave us. And so they take care of all this stuff. But even though Heather's dad gave me the laptop, we're still going to use Monty. But he's given me one before. So if he gives me a laptop, what's the first thing that he does is he cleans it. No matter where he got it from, he wipes it clean. Okay? And then he gives it to me, and I'm supposed to, which I don't do, but I'm supposed to start putting programs on it, right? Instead, I have him do it for me. He gives it to me already programmed and ready to go. And so what happens is he sets me up with the system, and then I have to start putting programs on it. Not only do I put programs on it to make it run effectively, he also puts like some kind of antivirus software on there or whatever, if that's still what it's called, and to keep bad stuff off of the computer.
Yeah.
Right? Does anybody here not have anything on your computer to protect it from viruses? Doesn't everybody have something now? Or is it just if you spend enough on a computer, maybe you don't need it? I don't know. I'm not a computer person. But so I got something on there to keep bad stuff off. And then at the same time, even though the computer, no matter what you spend on it or how up to date it is when you get it, what happens a couple weeks after later? You start getting notifications that you need to run an update. So if you're like me and you don't turn the computer on that often, when you turn it on, next thing you know, you got to spend the time running updates because you want that computer, that machine, to run at its top performing level, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want anything that's going to slow it down or make it not work right on there, and you want what's on there to be the best that it can be. Well, see, God has set us up with the system, but He leaves the programming up to us. And there's a lot of people walking around at factory settings in the church that haven't done anything to update the programming or to keep the bad stuff out. This is the greatest operating system that's ever been created, you and me. And we take that time with a laptop, but we take no time to... I got an update this morning that my phone is going to be updating tonight and my iPad updated last night, and I didn't even do anything. We've got it set up on automatic updates because it's so important to us. We need it to run perfect. And whatever the update is probably something I'm never even going to use on this thing. But it updated it anyways, and I've got it. But when it comes to our spiritual life, we don't see any need to be updated. We don't see any need to keep the programs working and operating because viruses come in no matter who you are. Things come and try to attack us. But we need to make sure that we are taking the responsibility that God gave us seriously. He's left the programming up to us. If somebody was to do, what is it called, a diagnostic check?
Yeah.
I'm rolling this morning too, I guess. On your operating system, what would they find? Would you be up to date?
Malware.
Or would you be covered with viruses where you've not even taken the time to keep what He's given you at top performance?
And to go with that, if you're anything like me, when I'm on my computer and it comes up with a pop-up that it says I need an update, it's always at an inconvenient time. It's when I've got to get something done like right now, and then it wants me to do these updates. But what we don't realize is it's kind of like when we go through a difficult situation and then something comes up, like, and you have a response to it, they're like, ooh, that's not a good Christian like response to this. Why is that there? What's going on? We have to take the time to be deliberate and realize that sometimes things pop up that we need an update to allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in us so we can continue to function at the highest levels we can. I mean, it made me, so during COVID, Sarah and Hannah, they were at home having to train for volleyball. So they decided that they were going to do box jumps and stuff like that, but they were going to do them on the beach court because that's, you know, how you really get conditioned. So it was very entertaining, to say the least, to watch them try to do this stuff in the sand. And I mean, it looked hard because they made it look really difficult. And but they kept doing it every day. They consistently tried to do it. And I thought it was like after a week, but Aaron said it was like after a couple weeks. But they both said that it became easier. Like those same box jumps that they struggled to even clear the wood, they were just doing it like a boss over and over, because they had developed those muscles and kept doing it and kept doing it. So just be encouraged. Is everybody, we all are starting somewhere, and we're all having to do these updates. We're all having to be reprogrammed to have our minds renewed every day. So it's not ever done. I mean, we're always continually striving for more. So just be encouraged to start where you are. God knows exactly what you need and how you need it, and it's going to be fine. You just have to start, and it'll become easier.
When it comes to walking in the Spirit, the key to it is the focus, like Heather said, being on God. It's about you saying yes to God, that being your focus, your desire, everything that you're thinking about, instead of worrying about all the stuff that's maybe not going right or that you're even failing at. It's not that you want to do everything perfect. You want to go after Him. Those things right now that you think are so important that you don't listen when the update comes up because you just don't have time for it, because this is more important and this is more important and I have to do this first and I have to do that first, they just start to fade away. And then you will not fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. We have so many people struggling with the flesh in the church, and that's okay. But some of them are struggling with things that should have faded away years ago. And the key to it fading away isn't for you to be more disciplined, which that's fine, that's great. Isn't for you, the key is to start living a life walking in the Spirit to where your focus is Him. The goal is Him. The prize is Him. And when your desire becomes on that, all those other things fade away.
We are so happy that you joined us today. If you are interested in learning about or giving to this ministry, you can find more information at SaponaRoadChurch.com. If you are local to the Fayetteville, North Carolina area, our meeting times are 10:45 a.m. Sunday mornings and 7 o'clock p.m. Wednesdays for our Connect groups. From all of us here at Sapona Road Church, we hope that you have a great day as you walk in the Lord's favor and blessing.